From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
That hymn, a favorite of many, is by Isaac Watts, and it was never meant to be sung only at the Advent or Christmas season. Joy to the world is to be sung every day, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a familiar saying, and it's actually a verse found in Psalm 118, and it corresponds to Revelation 1 verse 10, where John, the last remaining apostle, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, or the day belonging unto the Lord. Although we are to live for the Lord every day of the week, the first day, the Lord's day, the Sabbath, is especially devoted unto Him. For He rose from the dead on that day, and He's instituted it to us for a holy day, a holiday. We remember yearly birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, special days. But God has given us a weekly rest from our words, works, thoughts, and pleasures to be engaged in His. We recognize that all we have belongs unto the Lord, but especially the tithe. So every day, but especially the Sabbath or Lord's Day, belongs unto Him. After all, the fourth commandment still abides. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Isaiah 58:13-14 sum up the spiritual application of the Sabbath and fourth commandment, and it reads thus, If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. May the Lord help us today to keep, to guard His holy day.
On Christmas night, how Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. On Christmas night, how Christians sing to hear the news the angels bring. News of great joy, news of great birth.
Then life and health come in its place.
When sin departs before His grace, then life and health come in its place.
Angels and men with joy may sing Alleluia to our King.
Lord Jesus, I thank Thee that Thy life and Thy sacrifice has brought glory to God and peace with man. I thank Thee that Thou hast brought us peace with God through Thy sacrifice. Thank You, Lord, that we are not only friends, but joint heirs with Thee and children of God. We pray that Thou will work today to bring others into Thy kingdom and to know the peace of God that passes all understanding, and that God would receive the glory as sinners are brought to Thy feet. Receive honor, we pray, this day, and bless Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many times have you heard a message on the life of Joseph? This is not the Joseph of Egypt, Jacob's son, who was delivered into slavery, and then by God's providential power, he was raised to be in authority with Pharaoh in Egypt. This is the Joseph who was Jesus' stepfather, who was Mary's husband. Joseph is usually in obscurity, and yet we find that his life has enough said where we can learn, we can glean some truth. Biography is literally the study of a life, and the Scripture is full of the biographies of believers. And as we study the lives of God's people, we study the lives of people who are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, where the Scripture candidly reveals the sin of a believer, that is where they have veered from following Christ. But generally speaking, as you look at the life of a believer, you follow a life that is in conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at the life of Joseph, the husband of Mary and the stepfather of the Lord Jesus. We find in Matthew chapter 1, that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then we find Joseph again in the book of Luke. Luke and Matthew give us the accounts of Jesus' birth. And then Luke also gives us the account of Jesus' childhood, up even through the age of 12 and beyond. Luke chapter 2, we find there was much spoken of the Lord Jesus by those that were living at that day. And the Lord Jesus, at this point, is 12 years old. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 that he grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. As we look at the life of Joseph, the stepfather of the Lord Jesus and the husband of Mary, and the father of Jesus' stepbrothers and sisters, we see the life of a believer that is in conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at Joseph's life, may we pray that we too might be like Joseph as he was like Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said to be followers of him. That sounded, as you read it, sounds pretty arrogant, but he says, be followers of me even as I am a follower of Christ. And as we view the lives of believers, we ought to emulate, we ought to follow them as long and as far as they are following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be like them only as they are like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we are like them as they are like Christ, we are following the Lord Jesus, for he's the one that directs his people. I think that's why we have biographies in the Bible. The Lord wants us to show, wants us to see how he leads people, and how we're to take these examples and these teachings and pray that we might be led the same way, that we might be directed to live a life in conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing it says of Joseph is that he was a just man, Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. This word just means justified. Joseph was like anyone else, a sinner, born in sin, born in depravity. He was not born just. He was made just. That is, he was declared just by the Lord. Just or justified or righteous, the same word, a synonym, means to be conformed to a standard. In the Old Testament, it spoke of just weights and just balances, that these weights had to be, that had to be conformed to a certain weight, a certain standard. As you go into a grocery store, you hope that the weights are just. You don't want to put a bunch of bananas on a scale and have the scale read a pound or two over what those bananas really weigh. And so as we see Joseph called a just man, it means that at this point in his life, he's conformed to a standard. And what is that standard? The standard of God's law, the standard of God's will. This man has been declared just by the Lord through the work of the Messiah. Joseph was a man saved. That's the New Testament term. He's born of the Spirit. His life is being conformed to the will of God. The word just means the result of being declared just, declared righteous. Justification is not something done in man, but something done of man. It's the picture of a man or a woman, a soul that is in court, and the devil and others are accusing that one of sin and his deserved punishment. And the Lord Jesus comes in as a lawyer. This scene is also found in Zechariah chapter 3 in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus comes in and rebukes the devil and says, take away the filthy garments, and I declare this person just. And the obvious reason is because he has taken the person's place. And he's pleading before the judge to let that man go free, to declare him just, righteous, and to go out a free man. That is what justification is. God declares us righteous because of what Christ has done in dying for the sins of his people and living perfectly in their place as well. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. Again, as a judge declares someone just, he's not made him just, he's declared him what he already is. If a judge declares someone condemned, he's not made him condemned. The man already has a character, and he has performed works that deserve condemnation. This showing of the opposites of justification and condemnation is in Proverbs 17:15. Other scriptural characters declared just were Noah and Job and Lot. These were men that were declared righteous by the Lord because of the work of the Messiah. Now, Jesus is called just not because he needed to be justified because he wasn't a sinner, but his life was in perfect conformity to the law and the standard of God's nature. Christ was perfect. And as people observed his life, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, he was seen of angels, that he was a person that was just in spirit. And this is speaking of the fact that internally and externally, as he was observed, that he was in perfect conformity to God's law and his nature. And an interesting statement in the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 12, is that the commandment of God is called just. God's commandments are just. What are they in conformity to? God's commandments are transcripts of his nature. And as we look at the Ten Commandments, they are just. They are in perfect conformity to God's nature. God's nature manifested the Ten Commandments as a transcript of what he was like. The Ten Commandments are simply an echoing of what the Lord is. And as we are commanded to keep the law, it means we are commanded to be like God. But we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and only through Christ can a person be declared righteous in God's sight and excused and delivered from his sins. Joseph was a just man. This speaks of his position before God, that he was no longer under condemnation, but he was now justified. Secondly, not only we speak of the position of Joseph, and every person must desire the position of being justified before God, because we're all condemned sinners, and through Christ alone can we be declared righteous. His personal life is given. He said to be holy, that is, we understand this by the fact that when he found out Mary was expecting, and even though he was engaged to her and really married to her in those terms, he desired to put her away privately. He feared God. He was holy. And isn't it interesting, when a person is just before God, he wants to be like the Lord. He doesn't go out of the courtroom having been declared righteous and now wants to live like he used to live. When a person is justified, when a person is saved by the Lord, he wants to be like the Lord. He has a new heart. And here is Joseph just showing the fact that he wanted to be like the Lord. When he thought that Mary had committed sin, he wanted to put her away. And it says, the angel said, "Fear not, Joseph." Obviously, he was fearing God. He said, "Stop fearing." He feared God, that he didn't want to take one who was polluted, who had sinned against the Lord. God's people are to be holy. They are to hate sin in themselves and hate sin in others. And Joseph was right, as far as he knew, to put away Mary. And he feared God, that he didn't want to incur God's anger and God's disfavor. But the angel told him that, no, this was of God that Mary was pregnant. He was merciful. He was not willing to make her a public example. Now, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 says that he could have done that. Now, that's not an absolute, obviously. There are times when God says he that sins openly must be rebuked openly. But Joseph was also merciful, that he didn't want to make her a public example. He was minded to put her away privately. He was thoughtful. It says, while he thought on these things, the angel appeared unto him. Joseph had thoughtful consideration of what he was to do in light of God's word. He was intensely pondering these things before he fell asleep. Oh, that God's people would be thoughtful. We need to be a people that meditate on God's word. We need to be a people that take his word seriously and desire to live in conformity to it and to act according to its teaching. We're not to give lip service and just token gestures of our time and effort, but thoughtfulness and meditation and a desire to live according to the scriptures. He was obedient. He took Mary to be his wife, as the angel said. Mary was not pregnant by sin. She was pregnant of the Holy Spirit. She was with child by a miracle. He took Mary, therefore, to be his wife. Then he fled to Egypt when he was warned to leave Bethlehem because Herod was going to kill the child. Then he left Egypt at the time when Herod was dead. And then he came to Nazareth. It tells us at the end of Matthew chapter 2, when the Lord told him to leave Judea and go up into Galilee, into Nazareth, and to raise the Lord Jesus there. This was an evidence of his justification. God's people are to be obedient to his word. This is an evidence of being saved. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then finally, his public life, he was wise. Isn't it interesting? It says that he knew not his wife. There was continued abstinence from marital relations until Jesus was born. Joseph was very wise. He knew that he wanted to be sure to exonerate the Lord and to show that this was a miracle, that she was to bring forth a child as a virgin, and how much wisdom he had to seek to make sure that the Lord was glorified. But it does say that he knew her not until. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. She had other children. But these children after Christ were born of man and woman. And then, of course, Joseph visited Jerusalem at the Passover, and he rebuked not Jesus in Jerusalem when Jesus was found with the doctors that I read previously. Joseph was a wise man, a man who lived in understanding of the Scriptures and how we need to emulate Joseph and seek to have the wisdom of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Scriptures give us wisdom. God, who is the God of all wisdom, leads his people to make wise choices according to his word. He's able to give us application of truth in all our modern circumstances. And Joseph finally was a humble man, an unassuming man. He passes off the scene after Luke chapter 2. He's content to be obscure in the carpenter's shop. And as far as we can tell, he died long before Jesus was crucified. Joseph, a man who was a justified man, a holy man, a merciful man, a thoughtful man, an obedient man, a wise man, but yet a humble man. God's people are humble people who desire not that their name is exalted, but that their name is humbled. As John the Baptist, we say and we believe and we feel in our own hearts, he must increase. That is, Jesus must increase, but we must decrease. May we be like Joseph, for he was like Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also, be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m., and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.